Why aren't more people investors? The same reason many people do not start their own businesses. It can be summed up in one word: risk. Many people do not like the idea of handing over their hard-earned money and not having it come back. Many people are so afraid of losing, they choose not to invest or risk their money at all, no matter how much money they could make in return. The fear of losing money seems to divide investors into four broad categories. First, people who are risk-averse and do nothing but play it safe, keeping their money in the bank. Second, people who turn the job of investing over to someone else, such as a financial advisor or mutual fund manager. Third, gamblers, for whom investing is a game of chance. And finally, investors, for whom investing is a game of skill. For the people who turn their money over to someone else to invest, investing is often a game they do not want to learn. The important thing for these individuals is to choose a financial advisor carefully. The good news about investing is that risk can be greatly minimized or even eliminated, and you can still receive high yields on your money if you know the game. It is the fear of losing money that causes most people to seek security. Yet the I, investor quadrant, is not as treacherous as many people think. It has its own skills and mindset. The skills to be successful in the I, investor quadrant, can be learned if you're willing to take the time to learn them. When I was a boy, my rich dad encouraged me to take risks with my money and learn to invest. He would always say, "If you want to get rich, you need to learn how to take risks. Learn to be an investor." At home, I told my educated dad about my rich dad's suggestion that we learn how to invest and learn to manage risk. My educated dad replied, "I don't need to learn how to invest. I have a government pension plan, a pension from the teachers' union, and Social Security benefits guaranteed. Why take risks with my money?" My educated dad believed in industrial age pension plans, such as government employee pensions and Social Security. He was happy when I signed up for the U.S. Marine Corps. Instead of being worried that I might lose my life in Vietnam, he simply said, "Stay in for 20 years and you'll get a pension and medical benefits for life." Although still in use, such pension plans officially have become obsolete. The idea of a company being financially responsible for your retirement and the government picking up the balance of your retirement needs through pension schemes is an old idea that is no longer viable. People need to become investors. As we move from defined benefit pension plans, or what I call industrial age retirement plans, to defined contribution pension plans, or information age pension plans, the result is that you as an individual must now be financially responsible for yourself. Many people who have spent their lives avoiding financial risks are now being forced to take them. A large majority of these people, the E's, employees, and S's, self-employed, are people who by nature are security-oriented. That is why they seek secure jobs or secure careers or start small businesses they can control. They are migrating today because of the defined contribution retirement plans to the I, investor quadrant, where they hope they will find security for when their working years are over. Unfortunately, the I quadrant is not known for its security. The I quadrant is the quadrant of risk. Because so many people on the left side of the cash flow quadrant come looking for security, the stock market responds in kind. That is why people who seek security use diversification as an investment strategy for not losing. It is not an investment strategy for winning. Successful or rich investors do not diversify. They focus their efforts. Learn to manage risk. It is possible to invest for high returns with low risk. All you have to do is learn how it's done. It is not hard. In fact, it's much like learning how to ride a bike. In the early stages, you may fall down, but after a while, the falling stops and investing becomes second nature, just as riding a bicycle is for most of us. The problem with the left side of the cash flow quadrant is that most people go there to avoid financial risk. Instead of avoiding risk, I recommend learning how to manage financial risk. People who take risks change the world. Too many people have come to depend on government to eliminate the risks of life. The beginning of the information age is the end of big government as we know it. Big government has just become too expensive. Unfortunately, the millions of people around the world that have come to depend upon the idea of entitlements and pensions for life will be left behind financially. The information age means we all need to become more self-sufficient and begin to grow up. The times are changing. My concern in this program is for those individuals who want to make the move from the left side of the quadrant to the right side, but don't know where to start. Anyone can make the move with the right skills and determination. Why people choose security over freedom? The primary reason many people seek job security is because that is what they are taught to seek at home and at school. Because most of us learn little to nothing about money at home or at school, it is only natural that many of us cling even more tightly to the idea of job security instead of reaching for financial freedom. If you analyze the cash flow quadrant, you will notice that the left side is motivated by security and the right side is motivated by freedom. Trapped by debt. The main reason that 90% of the population is working on the left side is simply because that is the side they learn about in school. They then leave school and are soon deeply in debt, so deeply in debt that they must cling even tighter to a job or professional security just to pay the bills. If we track the life of average educated people, the financial script often goes like this. The child goes to school, graduates, finds a job, and soon has some money to spend. The young adult can now afford to rent an apartment, buy a TV set, new clothes, some furniture, and of course a car. And now the bills begin to come in. One day the adult meets someone special, sparks fly, they fall in love and get married. For a while, life is blissful because two can live as cheaply as one. They now have two incomes, only one rent to pay, and they can afford to set a few dollars aside to buy the dream of all young couples, their own home. They find their dream home, pull the money from savings and use it for a down payment on the house, and now they have a mortgage. Because they have a new house, they need new furnishings. So they find a furniture store that advertises those magic words, no money down, easy monthly payments. Life is wonderful, and they throw a party to have all their friends over to see their new house, new car, new furniture, and new toys. They are now deeply in debt for the rest of their lives. Then the first child arrives. The average, well-educated, hard-working couple, after dropping the child off at nursery school, must now put their nose to the grindstone and go to work. They become trapped by the need for job security simply because, on average, they are less than 3 months away from financial bankruptcy. From these people you often hear, "I can't afford to quit. I have bills to pay." The money trap. Success on the right side of the quadrant requires a knowledge about money called financial intelligence. Rich Dad defined it this way. Financial intelligence is not how much money you make, but how much money you keep, how hard that money works for you, and how many generations you keep it for. If people lack basic financial intelligence, they will, in most cases, not survive on the right side of the quadrant. My rich dad was good with money and with people at work. He had to be. He was responsible for creating money, managing as few people as possible, keeping costs low, and keeping profits high. Those are the skills necessary for success on the right side of the quadrant. It was my rich dad who stressed to me that your home is not an asset, but a liability. He could prove it, because he taught us to be financially literate, so we were able to read numbers. He had the free time to teach his son and me, because he was good at managing people. His skills from work carried over into his home life. My educated dad did not manage money and people at work, although he thought he did. As the state superintendent of education, he was a government official with a multi-million-dollar budget and thousands of employees. But it was not money he created. It was taxpayers' money, and his job was to spend all of it. If he did not spend it, the government would give him less money the next year. So at the end of each fiscal year, he was looking for ways to spend it all, which meant he often hired more people to justify next year's budget. The funny thing was, the more people he hired, the more problems he had. As a young boy, observing both fathers, I began to take mental notes of what kind of life I wanted to lead. My educated dad was a voracious reader of books, so he was word literate, but he was not financially literate. Because he could not read numbers, he had to take the advice of his banker and accountant, and both told him that his house was an asset, and that it should be his largest investment. Because of this financial advice, not only did my highly educated dad work harder, but he also got further into debt. Every time he received a promotion for his hard work, he also got a pay raise, and with each pay raise he went into a higher tax bracket. He made more money, but all that happened was his taxes increased and his debt increased. He became more emotionally attached to his job and the paycheck that paid the bills. The more insecure he felt, the more he sought security. Your two biggest expenses. Because my dad could not read financial statements, he could not see the money trap he was getting into as he grew more successful. It's the same money trap I see millions of other successful, hard-working people fall into. The reason so many people struggle financially is because every time they make more money, they also increase their two biggest expenses, taxes and interest on debt. To top it off, the government often offers you tax breaks to get deeper into debt. Doesn't that make you a little suspicious? I know many people search for freedom and happiness. The problem is most people have not been trained to work from the B, business owner, and I, investor quadrants. Because of this lack of training, the programming into job security, and their increasing amount of debt, most people limit their search for financial freedom to the left side of the cash flow quadrant. Unfortunately, financial security or financial freedom are seldom found in the E, employee, or S, self-employed quadrant. True security and freedom are found on the right side. Going from job to job in search of freedom. One thing the cash flow quadrant is useful for is to track or observe a person's life pattern. Many people spend their lives in search of security or freedom, but wind up instead going from job to job. For example, I have a friend from high school. I hear from him about every 5 years, and he is always excited because he has found the perfect job. He is ecstatic because he has found the company of his dreams. He loves the company. It's doing exciting things. He loves his work. He has an important title. The pay is great. The people are great. The benefits are great. And his chances for promotion are great. About 4.5 years later, I hear from him again. And by this time, he is dissatisfied. The company he works for is now corrupt and dishonest, in his opinion. It doesn't treat its workers with respect. He hates his boss. He was passed over for promotion, and they don't pay him enough. 6 months go by, and he's happy again. He's ecstatic because he's found the perfect job again. His life pattern is going from job to job. So far, he lives well because he is smart, attractive, and personable. But the years are catching up with him, and younger people are now getting the jobs he used to get. He has a few $1,000s in savings, nothing set aside for retirement, a house he will never own, child support payments, and college yet to pay for. His youngest child, 8, lives with his ex-wife, and his oldest child, 14, lives with him. He used to always say to me, "I don't have to worry. I'm still young. I have time." I wonder if he's saying that now. In my opinion, he needs to make a serious effort to begin moving to either the B, business owner, or the I, investor quadrant, quickly. A new attitude and a new educational process need to begin. Unless he gets lucky and wins the lottery or finds a rich woman to marry, he is on a course of working hard for the rest of his life. Doing your own thing. Employees become self-employed. Another common pattern is someone going from E, employee, to S, self-employed. During this current period of massive downsizing, many people are getting the message and are leaving their jobs with big companies to start their own businesses. There is a boom in so-called home-based businesses. So, many people made the decision to start their own businesses, do their own thing, and be their own bosses. Of all the life paths, this is the one I feel for the most. In my opinion, being an S, self-employed, can be the most rewarding and also the most risky. I think the S, self-employed quadrant is the hardest quadrant there is. The failure rates are high. And if you make it, being successful can be worse than failing. That is because if you are successful as an S, self-employed, you will work harder than if you were in any of the other quadrants, and you will work harder for a long time, for as long as you are successful. The reason S's, self-employed, work the hardest is because they typically are the proverbial chief cook and bottle washer. They have to do or be responsible for all the jobs that in a bigger company are done by many managers and employees. An S, self-employed, just starting out, often answers the phone, pays the bills, makes sales calls, tries to advertise on a small budget, handles customers, hires employees, fires employees, fills in when employees do not show up, talks to the tax man, fights off the government inspectors, and on and on. Personally, I cringe whenever I hear people say they're going to start their own businesses. I wish them well, yet I feel great concern for them. I've seen so many E's, employees, take their life savings or borrow money from friends and family to start their own businesses. After 3 or so years of struggle and hard work, the businesses fold, and instead of building on their life savings, they are left paying off debt. Nationally, 9 out of 10 of these types of businesses fail in 5 years. Of the one that is remaining, 9 out of 10 of them fail in the next 5 years. In other words, 99 out of 100 small businesses ultimately disappear in 10 years. I think the reason most fail in the first 5 years is due to the lack of experience and lack of capital. The reason the one survivor often fails in the second 5 years is not due to lack of capital, but lack of energy. The hours of long, hard work finally get to the person. Many S's just burn out. That is why many highly educated professionals change firms or try to start something new, or die. Maybe that is why the average life expectancy for doctors and lawyers is lower than it is for most others. Their average life expectancy is 58. For everyone else, it is in the 70s. For those who do survive, they seem to have become used to the idea of getting up, going to work, and working hard forever. That seems to be all they know. A friend's parents remind me of this. For 45 years, they have spent long hours in their liquor store on a street corner. As crime increased in their neighborhood, they had to put steel bars up on the doors and all the windows. Today, money is passed through a slot, much like in a bank. I go by occasionally to see them. They are wonderful, sweet people, but it saddens me to see them as virtual prisoners in their own business, from 10 in the morning till 2 the next morning, staring out from behind the bars. Many wise S's, self-employed, sell their businesses at their peak before they run out of steam to someone with energy and money. They take some time off and they start something new. They keep doing their own thing and love it. Importantly, they know when to get out. If you were born prior to 1930, the advice, go to school, get good grades, find a safe, secure job, was good advice. But if you were born after 1930, it is bad advice. For people who earn their income out of the E, employee quadrant, there are virtually no tax breaks left. Today in America, being an employee means you are a 50-50 partner with the government. That means the government ultimately will take 50% or more of an employee's earnings, and much of that even before the employee sees the paycheck. When you consider that the government offers you tax breaks for going further into debt, the path to financial freedom is virtually impossible for most people in the E, employee quadrant, and for most in the S, self-employed quadrant. I often hear accountants tell clients who begin earning more income from the E, employee quadrant, to buy a bigger house so they can receive a bigger tax break. While that might make sense to someone on the left side of the cash flow quadrant, that makes no sense to someone on the right side of the quadrant. Who pays the most taxes? The rich pay few income taxes. Why? Simply because they do not earn their money as employees. The ultra-rich know that the best way to avoid taxes legally is by generating that income out of the B, business owner, and I, investor quadrants. If people earn money in the E, employee quadrant, the only tax break they are offered is to buy a bigger house and go into greater debt. From the right side of the cash flow quadrant, that is not too financially intelligent. To people on the right side, that is the same as saying, give me $1 and I will give you 50 cents back. I often hear people say, it's un-American not to pay taxes. Americans who say this seem to have forgotten their history. America was founded out of tax protest. Have they forgotten the infamous Boston Tea Party of 1773? The rebellion that led to the Revolutionary War, which separated the American colonies from the oppressive taxes of England? Taxes are a necessity of modern civilization. But problems arise when taxes become abusive and mismanaged. Taxes and debt are two of the main reasons most people never feel financially secure or achieve financial freedom. The path to security or freedom is found on the right-hand side of the cash flow quadrant. You need to go beyond job security. It is time to know the difference between financial security and financial freedom. What is the difference between job security, financial security, and financial freedom? As you know, my highly educated dad was fixated on job security, as are people of his generation. He assumed that job security meant financial security. That was until he lost his job and could not get another job. My rich dad never talked about job security. He talked instead about financial freedom. The answer to finding the kind of security or freedom you desire can be in observing the patterns found in the cash flow quadrant. The pattern for job security. People who go from school to the E, employee quadrant, are often good at performing their jobs. Many spent years in school and years on the job gaining experience. The problem is they know little about the B, business owner quadrant, or the I, investor quadrant, even if they have retirement plans. They feel financially insecure because they have been trained only for job or professional security. The pattern for financial security. To become more financially secure, I suggest, in addition to performing their jobs in the E, employee, or S, self-employed quadrants, individuals become educated in the B, business owner, or I, investor quadrants. This is the pattern of study my rich dad recommended. It is the path to financial freedom. This is true financial freedom because in the B, business owner quadrant, people are working for you, and in the I, investor quadrant, your money is working for you. You are free to work or not to work. Your knowledge in these two quadrants has brought you complete physical freedom from work. If you look at the ultra-rich, their pattern in the quadrant typically reveals that they start as a B, business owner, and then they become an I, investor. This signifies the income pattern of Bill Gates of Microsoft, Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway, and Ross Perot. A quick word of caution. The B, business owner quadrant, is much different from the I, investor quadrant. I've seen many successful Bs, business owners, sell their businesses for millions, and their newfound wealth goes to their heads. They tend to think that their dollars are a measure of their IQ, so they swagger on down to the I, investor quadrant, and lose it all. The game and rules are different in all of the quadrants, which is why I recommend education over ego. Just as in the case of financial security, having income generated from two quadrants gives you greater stability in the world of financial freedom. There are different financial paths people can choose. Unfortunately, most people choose the path of job security. When the economy starts wobbling, they often cling more desperately to job security. They wind up spending their lives there. At a minimum, I recommend becoming educated in financial security, which is feeling confident about your job and feeling confident about your ability to invest in good times and in bad times. A big secret is that true investors make more money in bad markets. They make their money because the non-investors are panicking and selling when they should be buying. That is why I'm not afraid of the possible coming economic changes, because change means wealth is being transferred. Your boss cannot make you rich. The economic changes currently happening are partly from the sales and mergers of companies. The reality is, your boss's job is not to make you rich. Your boss's job is to make sure you get your paycheck. It is your job to become rich if you want to. And that job begins the moment you receive your paycheck. If you have poor money management skills, then all the money in the world cannot save you. If you budget your money wisely and learn about either the B, business owner, or I, investor quadrant, then you are on your own path to great personal fortune and, most importantly, freedom. The path I recommend. I am often asked by people on the left side of the quadrant, "What path would you recommend?" I recommend the same path my rich dad recommended to me. The same path that people like Ross Perot, Bill Gates, and others took. The path goes from E, employee, to B, business owner, and then to I, investor. Or from S, self-employed, to B, business owner, and again to I, investor. I occasionally receive this complaint, "But I'd rather be an investor." To which I reply, "Then go to the I, investor quadrant. If you have plenty of money and lots of free time, go straight to the I, investor quadrant. But if you don't have an abundance of time and money, the path I recommend is safer." In most cases, people do not have an abundance of time or money, so they then ask another question. Why do you recommend the B, business owner quadrant first? There are two reasons. First, experience and education. If you are first successful as a B, business owner, you will have a better chance of developing into a powerful I, investor. If you first develop a solid business sense, you can become a better investor. You will be better able to identify other good Bs, business owners. True investors invest in successful Bs, business owners, with stable business systems. It is risky to invest in an E, employee, or an S, self-employed, who does not know the difference between a system and a product, or who lacks excellent leadership skills. The second reason I recommend the B, business owner quadrant, is cash flow. If you have a business that is up and running, then you should have the free time and the cash flow to support the ups and downs of the I, investor quadrant. Many times I meet people from the ES quadrants who are so tight on cash they could not afford to take any kind of financial loss. One market swing and they are wiped out financially because they operate financially at red line. The reality is, investing is capital and knowledge intensive. Sometimes it takes lots of capital and time to gain that knowledge. Many successful investors have lost many times before winning. Successful people know that success is a poor teacher. Learning comes from making mistakes, and in the I, investor quadrant, mistakes cost money. If you lack both knowledge and capital, it's financial suicide to try to become an investor. By developing the skill of becoming a good B, business owner, first, you will also be providing the cash flow necessary to move on to becoming a good investor. The business you develop as a B, business owner, will provide the cash to support you as you gain the education to become a good investor. Once you have gained the education to become a successful investor, you will understand how I can say, it does not always take money to make money. The good news is, technology has also made it easier to be successful in the B, business owner quadrant. Although it's not as easy as just getting a minimum wage job, the systems are in place now for more and more people to find financial success as B, business owners. The kinds of business systems. In moving to the B, business owner quadrant, remember that your goal is to own a system and have people work that system for you. You can develop the business system yourself, or you can look for a system to purchase. Think of the system as the bridge that will allow you to cross safely from the left side of the cash flow quadrant to the right side, your bridge to financial freedom. There are three main types of business systems commonly in use today. They are traditional C-type corporations, where you develop your own system, franchises, where you buy an existing system, and network marketing, where you buy into and become part of an existing system. Each has its strengths and weaknesses, yet each ultimately does the same thing. If operated properly, each system will provide a steady stream of income without much physical effort on the part of the owner, once it is up and running. The problem is getting it up and running. In 1985, when people asked, "Why were you homeless?" Kim and I simply said, "We were building a business system." It was a business system that was a hybrid of the traditional C-type corporation and a franchise. As stated before, the B, business owner quadrant, requires a knowledge of both systems and people. Our decision to develop our own system meant a lot of hard work. I had taken this route before, and my company had failed. Although it was successful for years, it suddenly went broke in its fifth year. When success came to us, we were not ready with an adequate system. The system began to break down, even though we had hard-working people. We felt like we were on a good-sized yacht that had sprung a leak, but we could not find the leak. All of us were trying to figure out where the leak was, but we could not bail water fast enough to find the leak and fix it. Even if we found it, we were not certain we could plug it. When I was in high school, my rich dad told his son and me that he had lost a company when he was in his 20s. That was the best and worst experience of my life, he said. As much as I hated it, I learned more by repairing it and eventually turning it into a huge success. Knowing that I was contemplating starting my own company, Rich Dad said to me, "You may lose two or three companies before you build a successful one that lasts." He was training Mike, his son, to take over his empire. Because my dad was a government employee, I was not going to inherit an empire. I had to build my own. Rich Dad always said, "We learn the most about ourselves when we fail, so don't be afraid of failing. Failing is part of the process of success. You cannot have success without failure. So unsuccessful people are people who never fail." Maybe it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, but in 1984, the company that went down was my third company. I had made millions and had lost millions and was starting all over again when I met Kim. The reason I know she did not marry for my money is because I did not have any money. When I told her what I was going to do, build company number four, she did not back away. "I'll build it with you," was her reply, and she was true to her word. Along with another partner, we built a business system with 11 offices worldwide that generated income regardless of whether we worked. Building it from nothing to 11 offices took 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears, but it worked. Both dads were happy for me and sincerely congratulated me. They had both lost money in my previous experiments at starting companies. When my rich dad began teaching me about becoming a B, business owner, there was only one kind of business. That was big business, a major corporation that usually dominated the town. In our town in Hawaii, it was the sugar plantation that controlled virtually everything, including the other big businesses. As I started high school, we began to hear about a thing called franchises, but none had come to our little town. We had not heard about McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Taco Bell. They were not a part of our vocabulary while I was studying with Rich Dad. When we did hear rumors about them, we heard they were illegal, fraudulent scams and dangerous. Naturally, upon hearing those rumors, Rich Dad flew to California to begin checking franchises out rather than believing the gossip. When he returned, all he said was, "Franchises are the wave of the future," and he bought the rights to two of them. His wealth skyrocketed as the idea of franchises caught on, and he began selling his rights to other people so they could have a chance at building their own businesses. When I asked him if I should buy one from him, he simply said, "No. You've come this far in learning how to build your own business system. Don't stop now. Franchises are for people who do not want to build or do not know how to build their own systems. Besides, you don't have the $250,000 it takes to buy a franchise from me." The way I learned to become a B, business owner, was by being an apprentice to my rich dad. His son and I were both E's, employees, learning to be B's, business owners. And that is the way many people learn. It's called on-the-job training. This is the way many closely held family empires are passed on from one generation to the next. The problem is, not too many people are privileged or lucky enough to learn the behind-the-scene aspects of becoming a B, business owner. Most corporate management training programs are just that. The company only trains you to be a manager. Few teach what it takes to try to be a B, business owner. Often people get stuck in the S, self-employed quadrant, in their journey to the B, business owner quadrant. This happens primarily because they do not develop a strong enough system, and so they end up becoming an integral part of the system. Successful Bs, business owners, develop a system that will run without their involvement. How to learn to become a B, business owner? There are three ways you can make it to the B, business owner side quickly. You can find a mentor, buy a franchise, or develop network marketing. My rich dad was my mentor. A mentor is someone who has already done what you want to do and is successful at doing it. Do not find an advisor. An advisor is someone who tells you how to do it, but has not personally done it. Most advisors are in the S, self-employed quadrant. The world is filled with S's trying to tell you how to be a B or an I. My rich dad was a mentor, not an advisor. One of the biggest tips my rich dad gave was, be careful of the advice you take. While you must keep your mind open, always be first aware of which quadrant the advice is coming from. My rich dad taught me about systems and how to be a leader of people, not a manager of people. Managers often see their subordinates as inferiors. Leaders must direct people who are often smarter. A traditional way of learning about systems is to get your MBA from a prestigious school and get a fast-track job up the corporate ladder. An MBA is important because you learn the basics of accounting and how the financial numbers relate to the systems of a business. Yet, just because you have an MBA does not automatically mean you are competent to run all the systems that ultimately make up a complete business system. To learn about all the systems necessary in a big company, you'll need to spend 10 to 15 years there, learning all the different aspects of the business. You should then be prepared to leave and start your own company. Working for a successful major corporation is like being paid by your mentor. Even with a mentor and/or years of experience, this first method is labor-intensive. To create your own system requires a lot of trial and error, upfront legal costs, and paperwork. All of this occurs at the same time you're trying to develop your people. Another way to become a B, business owner, is through franchises. Another way to learn about systems is to buy a franchise. When you buy a franchise, you are buying a tried and proven operating system. There are many excellent franchises. By buying the franchise system instead of trying to create your own, you can focus on developing your people. Buying the system removes one big variable when you are learning how to be a B, business owner. The reason many banks will loan money on a franchise and not to a small startup business is because the banks recognize the importance of systems and how starting with a good system will lower their risk. A word of caution if you buy a franchise. Please do not be an S, self-employed, who wants to do your own thing. If you buy a franchise system, be an E, employee. Just do it exactly the way they tell you to do it. Nothing is more tragic than the courtroom fights between franchisees and franchisors. The fights occur usually because the people who buy the system really want to do it their way, not the way the person who created the system wants it run. If you want to do your own thing, then do it after you've mastered both systems and people. The final way to become a B, business owner, is through network marketing, also called multi-level marketing or direct distribution systems. Just as with franchises, the legal system initially attempted to outlaw network marketing, and I know of some countries that have succeeded in outlawing or severely restricting it. After I began researching network marketing, I found that there were many people who were sincerely and diligently building successful network marketing businesses. When I met these people, I saw the impact that their businesses had on other people's lives and financial futures. I began to truly appreciate the value of the network marketing system. For a reasonable entry fee, often around $200, people can buy into an existing system and immediately start building their businesses. Due to the technological advances in the computer industry, these organizations are totally automated, and the headaches of paperwork, order processing, distribution, accounting, and follow-up are almost entirely managed by the network marketing software systems. New distributors can focus all their efforts in building their businesses through sharing this automated business opportunity instead of worrying about the normal startup headaches of small businesses. One of my old friends who did more than $1 billion in real estate in 1997 recently signed on as a network marketing distributor and began building his business. I was surprised to find him so diligently building a network marketing business because he definitely did not need the money. When I asked him why, he explained it this way. I went to school to become a CPA, and I have an MBA in finance. When people ask me how I became so rich, I tell them about the multi-million dollar real estate transactions I do and the hundreds of thousands of dollars in passive income I receive each year from my real estate. I then notice that some of them withdraw or shy away. We both know that their chances of doing multi-million dollar real estate investments like I do are slim to none. Besides not having the educational background, they do not have the extra capital to invest. So I began to look for a way I could help them achieve the same level of passive income I developed from real estate, without going back to school for 6 years and spending 12 years investing in real estate. I believe network marketing gives people the opportunity to build up the passive income they need for support while they learn to become professional investors. That is why I recommend network marketing to them. Even if they have little money, they can still invest sweat equity for 5 years and begin to generate more than enough passive income to begin investing. By developing their own businesses, they have the free time to learn and the capital to invest with me in my bigger deals. My friend is now doing as well in his network marketing business as in his investment business. He told me, I did it initially because I wanted to help people find the money to invest, and now I'm getting rich from a whole new business. And that's why today I recommend people consider network marketing. Many famous franchises cost $1 million or more to buy. Network marketing is buying a personal franchise, often for less than $200. I know much of network marketing is hard work, but success in any quadrant is hard work. From my research into network marketing, I found two important things you can learn through their programs that are essential in becoming a successful business owner. To be successful, you need to learn to overcome your fear of being rejected and to stop worrying about what other people will say about you. So many times I've met people who hold themselves back simply because of what their friends might say if they did something different. I know, because I was the same way. And you need to learn to lead people. Working with different kinds of people is the hardest thing about business. The people I have met who are successful in any business are those who are natural leaders. The ability to get along and inspire people is a priceless skill, a skill that can be learned.